Amen. We're thankful for the grace of God, aren't you? And we're all, if you're saved tonight, you're a trophy of grace. We certainly didn't deserve it. Well, it's good to have Brother House back tonight. And if you haven't been here the previous nights, I encourage you to go online and listen. And just appreciate again the preaching from the Word of God by Brother House.
Thank you, Pastor. He's about got over the calendar thing, I think. I'm glad. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad I got relieved from the 10-minute sermonette. And I'm looking forward to God doing something real special in these few minutes before you get down to commitment time. If you would, open your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. I would like to be able to get an agreement on a statement today. I doubt I'll get it, but I'd like to say to you that I believe with all my heart that Christianity is off track today. Baptists and others have lost their way in a me-first kind of religion, seeking out what the church can do for them and never one time looking for what they can do for God. We are off track, seeking health, wealth, and happiness. Now, I want to say to you that God is interested in those three things in your life. He is interested in your health, your wealth, and your happiness, but He is much more interested in your holiness. And we need to understand that. And there has to be some changes made. I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture and look at it for a few moments. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 35. I will remind you that Jesus has been teaching and astounding those who are listening. And in verse 35, then one of them asked, which was a lawyer, Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" I suppose if we were going to make changes, we really ought to know what that great commandment is. That's probably the one we ought to start working on first, don't you think? I mean, if there's one that Jesus would pick out and said, "Okay, Bubba, here's the big one. This is the biggie." I think that's what we ought to start working on. But it is so radical. I mean, you're talking about somebody getting radical. He's, as we say in Texas, fixing to get radical. Look at the answer. He said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." That's radical. Pardon the English, but we ain't got close. But we should. Just because we're sorry, we shouldn't be willing to stay sorry. Huh? Just because we missed the mark, we ought not be willing to keep shooting at the wrong target. And Jesus says, this great commandment thing you need to be concerned with, Mr. Lawyer, is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. See, today what we need to do is to come back to having a deep love and desire to please God. Amen. To see God pleased with what our life is. And when we set out to do that, then as troubles come, and they will, and as cancer comes and bankruptcy comes and divorce comes or the children become prodigals or whatever comes, you just continue to love God with all your heart, watch, and you'll find joy not in your circumstances but in God. You see, there's so many unhappy Christians. Yeah, they're looking for their circumstances to make them happy. And it's amazing. I want to talk to you about a couple of things tonight that I really I'll say this up front. If you can't get this in your mind right tonight, you need to wait about making your commitment. If you can't get this lined up with your life, I want you to note, see, radical Christianity brings radical results. And you say, well, all you preachers are doing, you just want us to do more and more and more and more. No, I really would like for you to enjoy what God has for you.
Right.
And notice, we've got some radical instructions here, number one. Some radical instructions. And with those instructions come a bunch of promises. I'm going to give you a handful of scriptures. You might want to jot them down because I won't give you time to turn to them. But I want you to listen very carefully. They're familiar scriptures. John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." What a wonderful promise. That's kind of radical. John 15:11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full." Did you notice that just excludes all the circumstances? It doesn't say that you might be always healthy and always rich and always just everybody loves you and everything you do and say. It didn't say that at all. He just said, my joy will keep your joy full. Philippians 4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord," and again, I say rejoice. Psalm 37:4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart." Does it sound like so far that radical Christianity is trying to get something out of you without something getting back in return? Sound like a good deal to me. Psalm 32:11. "Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Psalm 90:14. "O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." It's sort of disheartening to watch a Christian grow old and get bitter. Why? Because all their life they counted on their circumstances to get them keep them happy. And now all their circumstances are going downhill and they have nothing. See, that first and great commandment keeps pressing us to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all of our mind, you see. To love Him, to rejoice in Him, to be glad in Him, to delight in Him, to be satisfied in Him. You read those verses, that's what they all said. Went right down the line. Rejoice, be glad, delight, satisfied, you know. And in them we find the great, in Him we find the great pleasures of life, not in circumstances. Psalm 16:11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures evermore." He's just not offering us a bum deal.
Right.
But he does throw that great commandment out there, and it keeps pressing in on us. And we keep pushing away. Not with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. Yep, that's the number one. That's what we have to take care of. Now, unless we become radical Christians, two things are always going to happen. Sooner or later, they always happen. Two very common things occur. Unless we become radical Christians, number one, we are not able to glorify God from our heart. We can fake it, but not from our heart. And number two, we're not able to love other people like we ought to. You see, we'll never be able to become generous in our resources unless it results from a heart that glorifies God and loves people. We won't ever. Radical statement. You say, well, I don't really believe that. Well, I didn't think you would, so I've got a few proof scriptures, and then I'll be through. Two test passages for those two statements. Statement number one, we'll never, ever be able to glorify God if we don't love Him with all our heart. That's statement number one. Now, that brings this question. Why is this radical Christianity essential for us to glorify God? Take your Bible, please, and turn to Philippians chapter 1. It's really, really important that you do. Philippians chapter 1. This is some of the most familiar scriptures, and we just don't pay a bit of attention to them. We love them. We just don't pay any attention to them. Philippians 1, verse 20. Ready? Paul's writing now, talking about why radical Christianity is essential in order to glorify God. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that in all boldness as always, so now, and you, if you mark your Bible, you need to mark this, so now also Christ, God, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. You've got to get pretty radical to be able to say that. Whether I live, it will glorify God. When I die, it will glorify God. Is that what he said? Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Simply put, you and I are to live a life that would glorify God in life and would glorify God in death. Paul explains it here in verses 20 and 21, and it's an important lesson on how to glorify Christ or God, you see, in life and in death. Somebody said, how can he be glorified in death? Well, Paul explains it here. He said, I understand it. To die is gain. For better. I don't know why we get so bent out of shape about dying. Honestly. I mean, we Christians? It's for better. Imagine the wonder of walking with Christ on this earth as we have the privilege to spiritually. How wonderful that is. I hope you can say my Christian life is wonderful. It ought to be. Imagine what it's going to be in His presence. So that's why when you believe that, you can glorify God whether you're living or whether you're dying. And that's what He's teaching us here, because God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in the time of our suffering. In the time of our disappointments, in the time of our despair, we are still totally satisfied with Him. For better. That's what Paul's teaching. And if we're going to glorify God, we're going to have to deepen our love for Him. We're going to have to get out of this Sunday, Wednesday thing. We're going to have to go 24/7. Love Him with all our heart, and all of our soul, and all of our mind. We've got too many other things that we are preoccupied with. You remember that last night? Preoccupied. Yes. Too many other things in the Christian life. So radical Christianity, according to Paul in Philippians 1, is essential in order to glorify God. Now, why is radical Christianity essential to loving people? People are most loved by us when our joy comes from God and overflows into generosity, especially when everything's not going good for us. Nobody, I don't think, I guess there are some just born stingy and stayed stingy. But most people, if they have plenty, they don't mind putting out a little bit of cash over here for this or that, long as they're not going to miss it. That's not really much generosity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you'll turn there, and that'll be our last stop for the night. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Again, very familiar passage of Scripture. You've heard it many times in the stewardship meetings. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, doesn't sound like it's going too good, does it? A great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now let's just note the background. We'll just study for a minute. Here's this church. Here's their background. Affliction. Poverty. What happened? It overflowed to great liberality. They weren't having the best of days, the best of times, but they did the best of the giving. And Paul said, now that proves the sincerity of our love. See, you've got a generation, you've got an example of generosity here from a most unlikely prospect. If I'd been needing money, I wouldn't have went to that church. Would you? If we were smart, we might would have, you see. Verse 8 just calls it a demonstration of love, a great outpouring, an example that we ought to follow. And that's the issue with so many. And it's going to come down to one thing, and we can argue about it till Jesus comes. It's going to come down to this, just what, quote, what is love? See, and we think it's some kind of a physical thing that starts in the heart and ruins the brain. Well, what is love? How does love for people relate to joy from God? You say none of this is making any sense. That's because we're so far away from truth. You know, we're just so far away from it, we can't get it. You read the verses here. To wit, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that how in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into their liberality. Liberality, they said, those poor Jews there in Jerusalem. And pure love brought pure generosity. And out of their deep poverty, they gave, you see. So unlike us, right? So far from where we are today, and some of you will prove it tonight when it comes commitment time. You'll prove to yourself again how far away you really are from loving God with all your heart. What a tragedy to call ourselves a Christian. We have missed radical Christianity completely. We think it's radical if we make 36 Sunday mornings out of the year. I know, but this is my last night and I'm out of here. It's the truth, isn't it? All around the country, as they do these surveys and they ask these questions, they ask a question like this, what do you consider to be a faithful Christian? Many pastors answered, those that are here at least 36 Sundays a year. I would classify that as a backslider, as someone so far away from God they don't have a clue what God wants. And yet we think just if we show up 52 Sunday mornings, then that's really radical. But no Sunday night and no Wednesday night. No. Grace and joy in abundance. Four things in these two verses here. I'm not going to elaborate on there in 2 Corinthians 1 and 2. Just remember. There is the abundance of their joy. You cannot get away from it. They were in poverty, but they abounded in joy. It didn't take money to make them happy. They had something else. Their overflow of that joy was a wealth of generosity. They abounded. They also had, number three, a severe test of affliction. The Bible calls it a great trial. And number four, deep poverty. See, and the lesson's simple. Their joy was not in prosperity. Their joy was not in security. Their joy was not in safety. Their joy was in God. Amen. Yeah. I hear the average Baptist saying now, well, now look, God, if this is how you treat your people, I'm out of here. I didn't sign up for this. Right? You say nobody would ever do that. Well, let's count back over the last 17, 18 years in the history of Heritage Baptist Church, how many have signed up and ain't here no longer? Why? Because they didn't sign up for this. They thought they were going to be blessed and get rich and get healthy, and the preacher expected them to do something. And they did. They left. So far away from loving God with all their heart. What's the great commandment? Oh, that's it. You're going to have to get back to it. The sad fact, our Christianity is in trouble today in the fact that it is simply not real Christianity. It's real religion, but it's a long way from Christianity. Well, what made that Macedonian Christianity real? Their joy was in God Himself. And we think, man, they had something special. They did. They had God. They had been saved. They had seen the smile of God. Jesus had taken their sins away. They had the promise of full and everlasting joy. They knew the friendship and the smile of God. They had something special. And it didn't have to do with anything but God. And the result was it overflowed in a wealth of generosity. I would suggest to you tonight that we need today to let God into our life and let Him deepen our love for Him to where we're very willing to move to radical Christianity and let Him allow us to find Him all-satisfying so we can overflow to generosity and won't need to be having meetings like this at all because we take care of it as we prove the sincerity of our love. Question tonight, have you been really, really converted, born again, saved? You say, yes, sir. All right, good. Do you find your pleasures and your joy in God, or are you constantly going further away looking for joy? More hobbies, more pursuits of pleasure, more cruises, more vacations, more time away from the Lord's work. Why? Well, I want to be happy. Well, you ain't ever going to find it out there if you've been born again. But you can find it in God. I want to tell you, there are folks in this room that can testify to it's a wonderful life. And it's a life you'll never, ever leave, you see. And it ought to overflow into you becoming a generous Christian because of your love for Him. See, the love is the overflow of the joy of God in our life. And so, if you are not a radical Christian, tonight you need to tell yourself why you're not. And tonight, if you're not willing to make the changes that are necessary in order for you to obey that great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, it says right there in the verse, with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Father, help us tonight now. So often we just breeze through the motions. We make no changes. We're not willing to alter our schedule. We're not willing to alter our priorities. We're not willing at all to heed that great commandment. Dear Lord, probably the best thing that could possibly happen to us would be for something to happen to us that wouldn't leave us with anything but you. And then we could understand. Bless the pastor as he continues to lead here, the people. May this church be a place where they say they are radical Christians. Pastor, if you'll come.
So stand and turn.